great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Thank you, Lord.
God, and all will see how great is our God.
Can we just worship Him right now? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for being our God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord, for being the one that hears every prayer, knows every need in every situation. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Precious Lord, precious Lord, hallelujah. Precious King, precious King. Precious Lord, precious Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. How great is our God. I'm so glad that one of those days it just kind of clicked in my brain and I realized that God wasn't just something that people talked about or my mom kept bringing up or people kept telling me was watching me. But He was real and He could take care of anything,
Jesus.
Any need, any problem, any situation. And not only could He just take care of that, that's good news, but even better was that He would want a relationship with me. That He would want to be my friend. That He'd want to come and let me feel His love. And those times that I tripped and fell, He was there to wrap His arms around me. When I was willing to say, Lord, I'm sorry. And His forgiveness was just there. It was there for me. And that love returned and came around me. And I knew. Precious Lord, I knew that He was real. How great,
yes,
how great
Jesus.
Is our God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you've got your Bibles, thanks again for allowing us to fill this pulpit while Brother Wells is absent. And I know y'all are looking forward to his return, his family. And it looked like they were having a good time. What Facebook allows us, you know. It's the bad part. Pastor can't have any privacy. It's all out there. Post one picture. Everybody knows where you're at. What's going on. But it looks like they were having fun. So that was great. So look forward to their being back. Glad that they're a part of this state. Our section 10. And that we get to fellowship together. Praise the Lord. Proverbs, the 14th chapter, the 12th verse, a familiar verse, but it goes to the heart of what I want to teach on tonight. Don't plan on keeping you long. I've got my watch on. My wife's there ready to ring a bell or something, get my attention if I carry on. That's not usually my problem. So, but in the 14th chapter, the 12th verse of Proverbs, it's a familiar passage. It says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We always think we have it together. We always think we have the right answer. In Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, it's where I want to read from and take my passage for our lesson tonight. But in Jeremiah 17, verse 5, it says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabit it. Verse 7 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat comes. But her leaf shall be green, and it shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And then verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then right behind that, it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his way and according to the fruit of his doing. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, I thank you for being in this place. Thank you, Lord, for those that have come this night. I pray your precious presence upon them, Lord, that you would be near. We felt you at the beginning, Lord, in prayer as we went through the service and worship. I thank you, God, for moving in this place already, and I look forward to what you're going to do this night in your precious name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Precious Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. If we can leave the Jeremiah up there, I want to read from the from the Amplified Version. Actually, I'll read from the NIV. Come to the Amplified later. This is what the Lord says in verse 5. This is how the NIV says it. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord and whose confidence is in him. They will be like the tree that's planted by the water, that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes, and its leaf are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Then it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I examine the minds to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. Precious Lord. I want to teach for just a little while on believing the lies of the heart. Our heart lies. Man, I'd love to believe the lies that sometimes my heart tells me. I have to admit, there are times when I wake up, it's on the right side of the bed, sun's shining, the birds are singing, and I feel like Superman. I jump out, feeling good, feeling young, feeling spry, feeling 25 years old. And then I walk to that mirror. And I realize 25 was 25 years ago. And that great head of hair that I once had is no more. And all those, the muscles that I thought I had have turned to flab. And I really need to think about a diet and quit eating all the burgers like I am 25. The heart lies. It creates that lie, and we get to believing it. We think it, and we follow after it. And we've met people, haven't we, that believe exactly what their heart tells them. They follow after it. That's why the heart is wicked. Desperately is the way the King James Version says. Desperately wicked. It tricks us into believing that we can we're one thing when we're not. I remember just this past youth congress or conference down in Springfield. Sister Cothart was ministering there in the morning session, and she was talking about the differences of guys and gals and giving some great, great instruction. And she made a statement. She says, "Now, gals, understand, that old man of 65, he's 16 on the inside." She first said, I was like, what? Then I realized, you know what? She's right. There's a lot of truth to that, because we believe the lie. We believe that that's the image. And my wife and I, now that we are hitting that age, we're looking at it. Oh, my wife's not there. Sorry. I'm a couple of years ahead of her. But as we're hitting those ages, you know, we're going and saying, well, we're here. And then we're saying, but, you know, we only think we're 30. I used to say I was thinking I was 25, but I realized my daughter's 25, and that's just gross. So I got to be 30 at least now. My son-in-law is older than me now, but that's just the way it is. You just, oh, I think I am. I remember my dad, we were talking to him about his weight gain, and he says, you know, he says, I've got to be, he says, he was approaching 70, and he still worked every day and hauled and loaded cement in trucks and bags of cement in our hardware store construction supply back home. And I remember telling him, Dad, you know what? You kind of need to start slowing down. So you need to watch your health, you know, and the doctor was on him and all those things that go with those visits that we have nowadays. And I was trying to be the good son and correct him and tell him. I said, you know, you really ought to think about losing weight. And he says, you know, he says, I got to stay. He said, 190 is my fighting weight. I said, your fighting weight? And the area of the store was not the best at times. And he said, yeah. He said, 190 is my fighting weight. He said, 190, he said, if I punch them, they're going to stay down. I was going like, okay, Dad, didn't want to break and bust his bubble, but I wanted him to try and figure out, you're just not as spry as you thought you were. And you may weigh 190, but they may not go down. And you might be in a lot more trouble if you throw that punch. But in his mind, because his mind, his heart told him, I can do that still. I can do that. And you see, our heart lies to us. Jeremiah, the words here that he's got from the Lord, he's talking about that. When we look at verse 5, we find there's three lies that I want to talk about that our heart tells us. Verse 5, it says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. There's ever a time in our world that man is trusting in man. It's right now. We can do it. We can change it. We can pass a law. We can make you do this. We've got the ability to do this, and we're going to push this part, and we're going to change our environment. We're going to change society. Man can do that. If man can just get in that mode, and that first lie that our heart tells us is, I can do it. It's not impossible. I've got this. I can take it and I can do it. In fact, the Amplified says it this way, cursed with great evil is the strong man who trusts in and relies on frail man. But the lie of our heart is, I can do it. I don't need anybody else. And we are in America, the self-made man. We are in the land, in the home of the brave and free and all that. And we exalt those self-made. We all want to be like Buffett. We all want to get there. I mean, people are spending, what was it, $2.3 million sit down and eat with Warren Buffett. this year, just to gain a little knowledge, because Buffett's got it. Buffett understands. If we can understand how Warren does it, then we're going to be all right. That's the lie. I can do it. I can be the old Nike commercial? Be like Bo? Bo knows. Be like Mike was the other one. I'm in Chicago. I forget that right. Be like Mike and Bo knows. And if you wanted to do it, you wore the $100 shoes and you were there. They sold a lot of shoes on that false dream. A lot of kids had the best and they still couldn't jump over 2 inches. The fattest kid could have the best shoes and he's not going to be any better. But the heart says, if I get those shoes, Mom, Dad, I get those. My 14-year-old, he just turned 14, and we're going through this age of change. He went from being a geek to the other day. He said, Dad, I'll play Madden 15 with you, football, on the Xbox. I was going like, wow, football. My boy's thinking about football, not the computer, which I can't do anything in those games. I was going like, wow. But then I thought about it. I said, now he's going to recognize all those names. We walk into a store, it's going to be like Mike and Bo knows and whoever the latest, greatest star is. I got to have those shoes. I got to have that. And I thought about it and I said, you know, it might be better that he doesn't like football as much as I want him to. But our heart lies. And that first lie is, I can do it. It's man's got the ability. And we buy into that. We buy into that part of it. And when we do, we get lost. And see, if the heart can get us to turn aside away from God, then we get to a place where we can't go forward. C.S. Lewis said, fallen man is not simply an independent creature who needs improvement, but he is a rebel. Fallen man is a rebel who must lay down his arms. We have to realize somewhere along the way that our heart's telling us a lie, and I don't have it all under control. And as man, I can't do it. I can't do it. That's the first lie. Then the Lord writes in Jeremiah, after he says that the man trusteth in man, he says, and maketh flesh his arm. Maketh flesh his arm. It's talking about the strength. The Bible talks about the Lord stretching forth his strong arm, his right arm, bringing it close and bringing. There was no salvation. The Lord stretched forth his arm and brought it in. Man has gotten to the point that says, you know what? I will do it. Not only can I do it, but our heart lies to us and says, you know what? If you're determined, you can do anything. You can make it. You can climb that mountain. You can get there. There's nothing that you cannot do. And we find that every time man gets to that point where he starts believing the first lie that, you know what, I can do it, and then I will do it, destruction and problems happen. Very first book of the Bible, we come to that place where they're going about doing everything that they thought they could do. Giving and marriage and all the parties and everything, and we have a flood that comes. Wipes out the earth. All men except for 8 human beings and 2 mosquitoes. Should have stomped on those mosquitoes. And then, it's not much further along, after that family starts to expand, we get to the Tower of Babel. And it says, the Lord looks down from the heavens, and he saw their determination, their will to do it. They were going to reach to the heavens. They were going to be as God. And when they said, I will do it, this we will do. They begin building and they begin making that tower. The Lord had to come in and cause confusion of the languages because man was believing the lie somehow. Now, our science today tells us that, you know, that was pretty dumb. Eventually, those guys were going to run out of oxygen somewhere at about 50,000 feet. But somewhere along the way, they were going to have a hard time. But in their mind, they thought, I can do it. I will do it. This we're going to do. They were determined to make it happen. And so the Lord comes in and he begins to confuse them. Who else do we know that comes in that same way? But in Isaiah, the 14th chapter, isn't it? We find that there's a certain angel that says, he's going to do it. I will do it. And the I wills of Satan. In verse 12 it says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, the lies the heart says, Lucifer's own heart, the one that was designed to bring music and singing and praise to the Lord. He got exalted in himself, and that's what happens when we start believing the lies of the heart. We start believing that I can do it. I will do it. We become like Satan. And he says here, for thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend to the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. That sounds about right. He was wanting to be number one, and we are in a world that's working their hardest, believing I can be number one. And so we believe the lies of the devil, the lies of our heart, of that heart. It's interesting that the scripture here says that the devil said in his heart, the lies of the heart, I will. I don't know about you, but what have you been this week, this past year? I mean, what have you been saying? I will. I will. I will. Every year we make those New Year's resolutions. We write them out. For some of us, we simply just scratch out 2014, put 2015 on there. We've got a brand new list. Same stuff, same song, second verse. Could be better, but it's going to be worse. And we go through that process of, I will, this is what I will do. And when we get to where we say, I will, we find ourselves in trouble. We find ourselves that we can't go forward. That's what happens. We make our flesh our strength. It's in me. And we start believing the lie that there is such a thing as a self-made man. There's no such thing as a self-made man, is there? There's nothing, nothing. Oh, I wish, but even when I look back at simple things I do, I realize, you know what? I had some help along the way. My mom and my dad, they had a little bit to do with my success. My wife's had a lot to do with my success. Just ask her. But there's no such thing as a self-made person. We become what we are because of people coming around us. But the lies of our heart let us think that we're doing it all on our own. And all around us in society, we have people that are marching to their own drummer, their own thought. They step on people. They abuse people. They walk through because it's their right. It's who they are. It's what they've thought. It's their way or the highway. That boss that we've had all at one different time that said, this is the way it is. No arguments. Even though we're all headed off the cliff, the boss is right. The boss is wrong. See rule number one. The boss is right. It's the way it is. And so we follow after that lie. I can and I will. The third lie that our heart tells us is, you know what? I don't need God. Notice in our passage, it says that it says, in whose heart, there it is again, whose heart departeth from God. Whose heart says it doesn't need God. The Amplified says, in whose mind and heart turn aside from the Lord. In the NIV, it says, the heart turns away from God. I don't need God. There's nothing worse, and there's nothing more sorrowful for me than to meet somebody that says they don't need God. That don't have a need. I don't want to hear it. I don't need God. What a loss. They don't even realize it, but they're believing the lie that I can do it on my own. I don't need God. The people that follow after it just throw God out. And we live in a world, in America, where our president says it's not a God nation, right? The nation that believes in God. It's not a nation that is a religious or Christian nation. By his own statement. And we love to get upset about that. But the truth of the matter is, when you look at our world, you find that even those that say they're leaning towards the Christian faith don't believe some of the truths of the faith. Each year, the Pew Research Group comes out and they do their survey, and we find that this group or that group no longer believes in God as much as they used to, no longer attends, no longer sees the necessity of following after God. And we are becoming a godless society. We're getting to that place. We're getting to that place, in all honesty, where our light will shine much brighter. Because it is becoming much darker. And those that are following after God, those that say, I do need God, their light's going to shine. We're going to have great revival because our light, there's going to be a distinct difference between what they are and what we are. It's going to be very apparent. And people are going to see that, and they're going to know that. When we walk around with smiles and they've got frowns, they'll understand that there's something different. Let me hear. Talk to me about why. My wife mentioned earlier this morning when they pull her into an office and they shut the door and said, just pray for me. When they call her and say, hey, you're not going to believe. God did a work. God did a miracle. We haven't seen them come to church yet, but they know. They understand. They need an answer. If they need God to work, they go to her. She does marriage counseling. She's really a good preacher. I don't let her try and get up here because I can't play the piano. I can't sing. I have a hard time clapping on beat. I could carry your Bible. But that's because the light's shining. A light shining. And if you get to that point where you allow your light to shine, where you understand I need God. And so the heart tells us these lies. The same lies that Lucifer had before he was ever kicked out of heaven. His heart told him, you can ascend there. Our heart says, I don't need God. I can do it on my own. I will do it. Bob Jones says that the devil didn't tempt Adam and Eve to steal, to lie, to kill, to commit adultery. He tempted them to live independently of God. That's what he did. When he brought them the lie, it wasn't all the sins in our list that we've got. It was that one that we don't pay too much attention to, live independently of God. To have other gods before him, to be as God. That was the lie that he tried, and he got them to accept. Just take of the fruit, and you'll be like him. take of the fruit. It's interesting to note that they were walking and talking with Jesus in the cool of the day. They had a relationship that all of us try and strive for, where they love to be with God. And as soon as they take of the fruit, instantly they can't be in His presence. Instantly they have to move out. And that which they had, that which we're trying to have every day when we're praying and reading our Bible, going through our motions as saints of God, they had that. And they were closer to God at that point than they ever were the rest of their life. But they believed the lie. They accepted the lie and they said, "That's what I want." It looked good to them. Man, there are some things that have looked good to me that I've rationalized, and I realized real quickly, this was not where I should have been. This was not what I should. This was the wrong choice. And our world has found that, and they've gone after it. That's what I want. I can do it. I will do it. I don't need God. And you see, that's the lies that the Lord comes and He fights against, because He understands that our heart's telling us. That's why He came in and said, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Deceitfully wicked. It's hard to think of it. Something beating inside of us with that part that we like to put it as an instrument, as just simply a muscle that's beating. But when we realize that heart represents more than just a beating heart, it holds our life force. It's our thoughts. In a spiritual sense, it's our intents. And it's deceitfully wicked. They said in the NIV, and beyond cure. Wow. We talked about hope this morning. That's hopelessness. That's hopelessness. Praise God. But you see, there is a difference. We can decide not to believe the lies of the heart. We can decide to change our direction. We can decide that we can move in a different way. Jim Berg says our biggest problem is not the environment which we've been raised. It's not the evil that's been done to us by others. It's not the limitations that we feel so acutely. Our biggest problem is a heart that wants its own way in opposition of God's way. And that's the solution. What's God's way? That's what I love about the Bible. Over and over, there's all these condemnations that the Lord comes against Israel with, especially in the Old Testament, isn't it? I'm going to do this. I'm going to curse. I'm going to get rid of you. I'm going to wipe you out. You're never going to see the light of day. There's going to be nothing left of you. And then He'll say, but, just a little window there He opens up. But if My people, called by My name, will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, seek My face, I will hear. Wow. Every time. And that's the beauty of what God does. He knows where we're headed. He knows that our heart is deceitfully wicked. But He cracks open the door. He said, hold on. There's always another side to the story if you'll just allow it. If you realize that there's a better way for you to go. And that's what the Lord does here in Jeremiah. When He picks up in verse 7, He said, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Here's that word again, hope. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. The NIV said it this way, once I find it again. It said, blessed is the one who trusteth in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. And in the Amplified, it says, most blessed is the man who believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is. As I began to look at that passage, I said, now, okay, Lord, you put in here trust and hope. Those seem so similar in their definition. How in the world, my definition, how is trust different from hope? Because most of the time, and so I began to look at it, and I found out that they are very similar. In fact, trust is the root word that hope springs from. Trust, however, is a verb. It's an action. It's something we have to physically put movement to. When we trust in the Lord, it means we actively, we go forward to do that. We move into the direction in after the Lord. So blessed is the man who acts his trust out. His actions go that he's following after the Lord. The solution to getting away from the lies of our heart is to follow after action, trusting in the Lord. To put our trust and our faith in the Lord. Because that's a verb. And then hope, whose trust or whose hope the Lord is, that word hope is actually a noun. It's a person, place, or thing, right? If I remember correctly. Josh, is that right? English? Okay. It's been a while since I've been in school, so I had to go back to that. But what that means is our hope, the person, place, thing, the person is Jesus. And our hope has got to be Jesus. So we've got to actively go towards and obtain our hope. We've got to hold on to that. That's why this morning I could preach hope is here, because that is the Lord. That's Him. He is our hope. There is no other answer for us. Because the heart would tell us that we can do it on our own, that we don't need God, but we have to understand that the Lord is our hope. And that's who we put our trust and confidence in. We grab hold of Him. And we follow after Him. Because He is our object of hope. He's the one that we look to. The author and finisher of our faith. He is the one that completes us. He's the one that comes in and takes care of our imperfections. He's the one that comes in and takes the sin of our heart, the deceitfully wicked, and washes us whiter than snow. He's the one that comes in and changes our wrong directions and makes them right. He's the one that opens doors when there seemed to be no way. It's Jesus. He is our hope. He is the one that we trust in, and so we follow after Him. We go after Him. That's what happens. You see, because if we can get that in our mind, our lives change. Before, when it talked about the way of the man that believed the lies of the heart, notice it says, he shall be like the heath in the desert. He shall not see when good cometh, and he shall inhabit parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land. And not inhabited. That doesn't sound like a place I wanted to go. In fact, one of the versions says, we'll be naked and destitute in the desert. We'll dwell in parched places in the wilderness in an inhabited salt land. Our history tells us that when conquering nations came in, and our Bible tells us that they did that, when they came in and they destroyed a city, in order to make sure nobody ever came back, they spread salt. It became inhabitable. They couldn't come back to there. They couldn't raise that up. It couldn't be the phoenix that would rise from the ashes. They spread salt over it so that nothing would grow there. They would have to move. They could not stay. They were a defeated person. When you believe the lies of the heart, you become that way. You become an inhabitable place, something that can't grow. And that's why we see the world struggle so much. Why they're so destitute. Why they're committing suicide. Because they're uninhabitable places. They've tried everything. They're in a desert, a wilderness. and they can't grow. They can't move forward. There seems to be no hope, no answer for them, no way that they can get around it. That's what happens when we believe in the lies of the heart. But notice what it says when it talks about those that trust and put their confidence in the Lord. He shall be, in verse 8, it says, he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Precious Lord. The Amplified said it this way, for he shall be like the tree that's planted by water that spreads out its roots by the river, and it shall not see or fear when heat comes, but the leaf shall be green. It shall not be anxious and full of care or worry in the year of drought, nor shall it cease yielding fruit. When I looked at a parched land on this side, salted, ungrowing, a wilderness, and then I look at this side of those that trust and have their confidence in the Lord, whose confidence He is, I want to be on this side. I want to be on this side. Because it said that we'll be so much like Psalms, the first chapter, the tree planted by the rivers of water. Amplified said that the roots go to it. It's constantly fed. And even in the down times, the leaves are green. Even in recession, if you will, God keeps providing. Things may be looking bad, and we may hear the doom and the gloom of the world around us. But the truth of the matter is, we're all right. We may not be Warren Buffett, but we're okay. We're making it. We haven't lost everything. It isn't gone by the wayside. The Lord's taking care of us. So we just kind of, and people look at you and say, wow, how'd you get all that? What are you doing? It's in a dark world that our light's going to shine. That's the same thing here. When we follow and put our trust in the Lord, things are just going to be better. It's an easy choice to me. It's an easy choice for me to say, hey, you know what? I think I'll follow the Lord. I think I'll put my confidence in Him. I think He'll be the one that I'll follow after. Why should I worry? I'm following the Lord because He's the one that provides. That whole terminology there, leaves green in the midst of drought. Not anxious, not fearful in bad times. Those are things that speaks to me. That kind of gets me excited and says, hey, I'm going to stay right here. Lord, I can't do it on my own. Lord, I do need you. I'm going to be right there behind you, Lord. I'm following after you. I'm going to trust in you. I think that's why Paul was able to say, follow me as I follow Christ. The trust. He said, trust me. Trust me. Just do like I'm doing. I'm trusting in Him. Let's just go along on this walk. Let's see how God keeps blessing and taking care of us. That's what happens when we get to the point where we allow the Lord to be the one that comes and helps us. So our trust, I'd rather be blessed than unblessed. Be turned away, to be cast out. I want to follow after the Lord. Precious Lord. You see, that one that doesn't is like Psalms 52:7. It says, lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. You can't get to that place, but you've got to be the one that says, I trust in you. I trust in you. You are my Lord, precious God. So we hope and we trust. We trust in His name. We trust in His mercy. We trust in His word. And we trust in His salvation. Praise the Lord. That's what it's going to take. Because you see, our heart will tell us lies. But we've got to understand our heart is a liar. I don't have a full head of hair. It's only thing it's waved lately is goodbye. I've got a convertible. And I'll have to wear a hat to keep the sun off. But in my mind, it's like it was in 18. Big old poof here. Back in those days, you just kind of combed it all back and up. It looked really nice, my pompadour. But it's not there. But my heart says, oh, it's there. Then I go look in that mirror. We have to trust in the Lord. Let's stand. See, our heart will tell us lies. We can't believe those lies. We've got to stray and stay away from those things. We've got to understand that God is our source, our strength. It's all in Him. Precious Lord. The old song says, the mighty God is Jesus. Prince of Peace, it's all in Him. That's got to be the way we look at life. The way we look at things. I don't have it under control. But I've got it all in His hands. I've placed it all there. He's the one. Praise the Lord. And I know all the singers are coming. Y'all want to sing? You want to sing?
What would you like to sing?
I was just going to have prayer and dismiss, but...
You can do that.
I can do that. Okay.
But you can do it with music.
I can do it with music. All right. And singers. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good to us, isn't He?
Yes, He is.
Praise God. I'm so glad that I...
Yes, Jesus.
So glad I learned to trust Him. Precious God. Can we just thank Him for that right now? God, I feel Your presence sweeping in right now. Lord, we put our trust and our confidence in You. There's no one like You, God. Thank You, God, for being the one that we can call on.
Oh, thank You, Jesus.
Thank You for being the one that hears, that answers.
Thank You, Jesus. Thank You.
Lord, we're not walking by ourselves, but we have, dear Lord, stretched ourselves out to touch You. And we're connected to You, Lord, and You are supplying. On every side. You're taking care of us, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's just thank Him right now. I feel His presence in this place. God, You're answering. You're confirming. Our trust is in You, oh God. You are our strength. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, God.
Thank You, Jesus.
Oh, my Jesus, we worship
You.
We worship You. We worship You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Precious God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Precious Lord. Precious Lord. Let me pray for you before we leave. Lord God, I ask that You would watch over this precious flock.
Thank You, Lord.
Your church, God, that's assembled to worship Your name. Dear Lord, this bride, is we're needing You, God, at every part to walk with us, to be near us, to keep us. Our dependence, our very life, God, it's in Your hands, and we're trusting to You. I pray, Lord, this week that You'd grant them safety, that You would walk with them, God, on the job, that You'd allow their light to shine. Dear Lord, that there be an opportunity to bring someone and introduce someone to You. Thank You, God, for Your glory. Thank You, God, for Your might. Thank You, Jesus, for Your presence that's in this place right now. We give You glory and we give You honor. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Watch over these, dear Lord, as they leave this night. Bring them back safely, Lord. In Your wonderful name, in the name of Jesus, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Precious God. Please remember the schedule of services. And I know y'all will enjoy having Brother and Sister Wells back this next week. Praise God. Turn around and shake someone's hand and know how glad you are to see them and let them know you're trusting in God.